you are listening to Law and Gospel on this, what day is it, Mark? Tuesday, October the 27th. Thank you. You didn't know either, did you?
No, I had to think. I knew it was the Tuesday before before All Saints Day.
Oh, boy, is this a big holiday coming up. Don't you get excited about Halloween? Oh, it's not the one we're supposed to be talking about?
Oh, no, yeah. Well, of course, Reformation was Sunday, but you can't help but think about it as you approach the weekend, too.
Yes. In fact, that means 2 weeks in a row.
Yeah.
The Pentecost celebration for the various Pentecosts last week, for example, was what number in Pentecost? It was the 22nd
right.
Sunday. This week is the 23rd.
23rd Sunday after Pentecost.
And so last week we did Reformation. This week we're doing All Saints Day. Do you have something special in the All Saints worship service where you go over the names of the people who fell asleep in Jesus?
You've asked me that before. No, I don't do it. And it sounds like a lame answer, but I'm always afraid of forgetting somebody.
You don't know who you buried? How can you forget?
I'm telling you, it sounded like a lame answer, but I just have never done that.
Interesting.
Now, we do, of course, we emphasize All Saints.
Yeah.
You know?
In fact, we would have, and a lot of churches do this, kind of a chime ring mm-hmm. as you name each name.
Yes.
Yeah.
Kind in of fact, my first parish, they had the custom when anybody passed on, they would toll the bell. We
yes.
had a bell. We tolled the bell for every year that he lived,
oh,
he
wow.
or she lived. And by the time that tolling was finished, everybody in the whole community knew who had passed.
Yes, first time I heard that was at the seminary when Martin Charlemagne died.
Mm-hmm. I remember that. I remember you gave the funeral there.
Yeah, and they tolled the bell there, and that was really something. Okay, we've got a long hymn today.
Yes, it's a great hymn, too.
Yes, for all the saints who from their labors rest. Although I don't know William Howe that well. Ralph Vaughan Williams, the one who wrote the music, is well known. But I don't know anything that William Howe also wrote, but that's kind of interesting. Why don't you go ahead with the first stanza?
For all the saints who from their labors rest, who thee by faith before the world confessed, thy name, O Jesus, be forever blessed. Alleluia, alleluia.
Yes. So, from their labors rest. A lot of times you have R.I.P. on tombstones.
Rest in peace.
Yes. And so this is a biblical concept. What's the one a lot of Lutherans like using?
Asleep in Jesus.
Yes, asleep in Jesus. It's very important to understand that in the English, when you hear a person who fell asleep, that normally refers to a Christian, not to an unbeliever. Unbelievers die. Christians fall asleep. So in this first verse, what is the grounds on which these people now are resting from their labor?
That they may rest from their labors and their works do follow them.
That's
right out of the Bible.
I see that in the verse.
But that's right in the scriptures.
Well, yeah, but I'm saying the verse. It says the reason they're resting from their labors is because they confess their
because
faith
they
before
confess
the world.
Their faith before the world, sure.
Yeah.
Right.
I don't think in this one there's anything about sanctification. You can get that from like Matthew 25 or such. I'll read verse stanza 2. Thou wast their rock, their fortress, and their might. Thou, Lord, their captain in the well-fought fight. Thou in the darkness drear their one true light. There is no way that we can understand what God is like, because there's not words possible in our language. So he always has to use an analogy. What are the three analogies that he uses?
Rock, fortress, our captain. You know, I can't read that verse without thinking about Christ.
Really?
Yeah.
Why is that?
I don't, because he is the rock. As Paul says, he's the rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ.
Yes, that's true.
I also think of the captain. The captain, Jesus is Lord God of Sabaoth. You know, he's the head of all the holy angels. He's the...
When is the word captain normally used? In what armed forces?
Usually Navy.
Yes. And was Jesus ever in charge of a boat?
Well, you know, sometimes we think of the church as being...
But it was Jesus ever in charge of a boat?
Oh, yes, of course. When he took Peter out, to fish.
Right.
There's one instance that comes to mind.
Well, how about the one he was sleeping in the boat?
Yeah, that's right, too.
And he stilled the storm.
That's right.
So that's correct.
And thou in the darkness drear there one true light. He says, I am the light of the world.
And how about the word fortress? You know, that's Psalm 46.
Yeah, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble.
Right, and Luther did something a lot of people don't realize about writing hymns. He took the words, say, from the Psalms, and Calvin would only sing the Psalms. If it wasn't in the Bible, they wouldn't sing it. But Luther kind of updated it, and in his day, there weren't really bulwarks as there was fortresses. And that's where we get the hymn, A Mighty Fortress is Our God. Did you sing that Sunday?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, who doesn't? By the way, did you stand when you sing it?
Oh, always yes.
You do? Okay.
I remember one time, you know, as a young pastor, I remember one time I forgot to stand. And
really?
Then I looked at my congregation. All my congregation was standing here.
Oh,
I was
really?
Sitting.
Oh, boy.
Did I feel stupid?
There's only one other hymn that you sit for.
That's stand up for Jesus.
I'm not kidding. So you never make that the sermon hymn because usually they sit down. By the way, you know, the church I'm a member of, St. Paul de Pere, is dedicating their new
organ, right? Yes,
refashioned organ, same organ, but they put in a few hundred thousand dollars this Sunday at 4:00.
Wow.
And my wife was saying the trumpets extend over the balcony already.
No kidding.
Yeah, they've got it all pretty well getting ready for this coming Sunday. So if anybody wants to hear, they're bringing an organist from one of our Concordia schools to dedicate it. In fact, the same one who dedicated the original organ.
Oh, wow.
That is something. So that'll be at 4:00, St. Paul de Pere. It's a real hard address to remember. 12345 Manchester. Isn't that a great address?
It is.
Boy. Yeah, I mean, my house is terrible. 10,000 Keith inch cord, and everybody asks, what do you mean, inch or inch? Or, oh, never mind. All righty. Next time I move, I'm moving somewhere else. All right, I'll read three. O may thy soldiers, faithful, true, and bold, fight as the saints who nobly fought of old, and win with them the victor's crown of gold. Now, that kind of gives the impression that we get the victor's crown of gold because we do a good fight. Is that correct?
It's a fight of faith.
It's a fight of faith.
Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give unto thee the crown of life.
In fact, what does the previous verse say? It talks about, Lord, their captain in the...
well-fought fight.
Yes. So Jesus being the captain...
I mean, we are in the church militant. This is the church militant.
Right.
We're contending against the world, our own sinful flesh, and the devil.
Yes. And what is the other part? There's the church militant, and then there's the church
triumphant.
And what's that?
That's that's the church in heaven.
That's right.
Communion of saints. Well, communion of saints is the whole church. As well as the church in heaven, of
course. And when we talk about heaven, we don't mean what the parables mean. The kingdom of heaven is like, because that's talking about the church on earth.
Right.
And we're talking about after judgment day.
Right.
Yeah, very important. All right, stanza four.
Let's see. O blessed communion, fellowship divine. We feebly struggle, they in glory shine. Yet all are one in thee, for all are thine. Hallelujah. That's there, the communion of saints it's talking about.
Yes.
Right.
And when's that mentioned in the liturgy?
The communion of saints? Well, in the creed. I believe in
right.
the Holy Ghost.
But in the liturgy, also besides the creed.
Let's see. Oh, I know. Yes, I know. Right before communion,
yes.
where we talk about with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven.
That's right.
Yes.
Sometimes we would say, and all the communion
right.
of saints.
Let's see. What's that called? Do you remember what that liturgical piece is called?
Is that the preface?
I think it is one of the prefaces.
Yeah.
Is it the proper preface?
It's every Sunday.
Oh, you're right. Yes.
What do you mean, oh, I'm right?
No. For once.
For once. But it's something, it's in the prayer.
Right.
You know, that is said before communion. And I'm trying to remember, is it the same words? Because they're divided by seasons.
Right, that's right. But it's always, it always concludes, I think, with that.
Yes, I think you're right, yes. In fact, I've told people, the closest you can get to your loved ones is
I've
what?
I've said the same thing, is the altar rail.
Right, at the Lord's Supper.
Right.
Well said. So, O blessed communion, fellowship divine. The word for fellowship is koinonia. In the Greek, we actually had a junior and senior koinonia. That's what we called our youth group. And we feebly struggle, they in glory shine. So there is no more struggle in heaven?
No.
Yeah.
We feebly struggle, they in glory shine.
So why do you think you use the word feebly?
Well, because sometimes our struggle is pretty feeble.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, you know, we, let's face it, none of us contends as we should.
Yes. So the next verse really ties into that. And when the fight is fierce, the warfare long, steals on the ear the distant triumph song, and hearts are brave again, and arms are strong. Now see, The goal of every sermon is to bring comfort to people. And the way that comfort is brought when you're here on earth with a long warfare and the fight is fierce, as you said, against the devil, the world, and our flesh, I don't think kids are going to understand. Steals on the ear the distant triumph song. Because when they think of stealing, they think of breaking the law. So what's a better way of trying to get kids to understand steals on the ear the distant triumph song? Have you figured out what steal means?
Well, I take that in the context. When the fight is fierce, the warfare long. You know, it's, in other words, when we're having a difficult time
right.
of it, we're reminded of the communion. It's like that cloud of witnesses that that Hebrews talks about. You know,
right,
the cloud
right.
of witnesses that remind us that it's indeed worth the struggle.
I'll tell the analogy I like using here. They have a new mechanism in some cars. Let's say you go into a ditch, and just by pushing a button, all of a sudden you're talking to somebody. Oh,
yeah.
What was that? And when you're talking to somebody, yeah, see, you get a whistle from God. And when you get that whistle from God, what happens is that you'll hear sirens coming. And isn't that always good news?
A siren?
Yes.
Usually sirens not, I don't know, somebody's had an accident or there's a fire
well,
or,
I just said
or
you
the
fell
police
in
are chasing you.
Huh? You fell in the ditch of your car.
Oh, I see. Yeah, you're right. And that, in that context, there is good news.
Yes. Sure. So the sirens are.
Yeah. Unless the police car goes right past you for someone else.
They have a way of knowing. In fact, I'm just amazed. I've got that new mechanism where you type in the address and it talks to you how to get there. And it's just amazing because it's got a video going on of your car. For example, I was coming up to a clover leaf and I was going under it. And sure enough, on the video, as I went under it, on the video, I was going under a clover leaf.
No kidding.
I don't see how they do that.
I do not either. It's mystifying.
How can they not find anybody?
I don't know.
So at any rate, where sirens usually aren't good news, in that case it would be. And that's when I understand steals on the ear the distant, you could say, siren song or triumph song. Because
let's stick with triumph song.
Okay, but you're getting help, you know. Yeah, there's a new, what do they call it? It's a television show, Black Something, about in hospital emergency rooms. Black Time or something like that. But what it means is this. Is that the amount of resources you have in the emergency room are no longer sufficient to take care of all the patients coming in. Most hospitals, they say, that occurs 4 or 5 times a year.
I can imagine.
But in this Los Angeles hospital, and I think it's a television program, it occurs 300 times a year. And so all that they're doing
is... It's not very encouraging, is it?
Well, I don't think I'd have them send me there.
Right.
But it's really well done, you know.
You can't think of the name of it.
Oh, Black Something. Well, we don't have the phones up right now, so you can't phone. But at any rate, it's really well done and has some good storylines and people struggling with illness. The thing that I was amazed at is how advanced medicine is, what they can do now with people. Where they seem to be ready to die and they can keep them alive. And so when I hear on this, steals on the ear the distant triumph song, you know, when you go to the emergency room, you want to see a doctor. You don't want to see an orderly. I was an orderly. And I loved working as an orderly, but not in the emergency room. Because I get sick when I see blood.
I guess so, yes.
And I remember the one time I was assigned to the emergency room. They brought in a motorcycle accident, and they were working on his broken arm. And I had a piece of gauze, and I was to hold it against his forehead that was bleeding. And you could feel underneath. Oh, it's the only night I didn't have a cheeseburger during.
I guess not.
It was something. All right. Stanza 6.
The golden evening brightens in the west. Soon, soon to faithful warriors cometh rest. Sweet is the calm of paradise, the blessed. Alleluia, alleluia. Wonderful words.
Yes. You know, paradise is kind of interesting. I'm watching, what is his name? He does Blue Bloods, and he's now started a thing. He's had it on for a while. But he's a sheriff in a town called Paradise. You remember who I'm talking about?
Yes, I know who you're talking about. He has a mustache.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's really a good actor.
Yeah, he is.
I saw last night, and it was really good. But they began the program by saying Paradise, and then the definition. And the one definition was a town in the state and where they are. And then the other definition is a place where everything is calm and perfect. And what did Jesus say to the thief on the cross?
This very day, you'll be with me in paradise.
Excellent, yes. And paradise was, in Judaism, the third level of heaven. Why Jesus used that? The only thing I can figure, that was really the interim. Explain the difference between the interim and judgment day.
Well, the interim is where we... And we don't know a whole lot about this interim state. But interim, of course, is... when we pass on, it's the time, it's the state that we're in between death and the last day.
Yes.
The new heaven and new earth.
Yeah, the guy's name is Jesse Stone in the actual thing, but. Alrighty, I'll read stanza 7. Now, this is kind of interesting. 1, 2, 3, 7, and 8 are on one page, and 4, 5, 6 are on another.
Yes.
Why is that?
Well, I think it's designed.
Because the tune is the same.
No, I think it's designed for, I don't know, my guess would be I don't know, for once they give you three verses that are set apart.
Right.
If you want to sing just five verses, the best verses are on the left-hand side of the page.
Yes.
It's my guess.
Yeah, there's a different tonation, even though it's the same tune, different kind of putting together. But seven, we already talked about that. But lo, their breaks,
a yet more glorious day. The saints triumphant rise in bright array. The King of glory passes on his way. Alleluia, alleluia.
See, this is where that teaching in the Bible about the degrees of glory comes in. It says very clearly here, the saints triumphant rise in bright array. And that is taught in 1 Corinthians 15. There's one glory of the sun, another of the moon, etc. Now, the way we make a distinction is that the glory of the sun is radiant. What's the glory of the moon?
Reflective.
Yes, excellent. Are we radiant or reflective?
I would say I'm reflective.
That's right. Because Jesus is the radiant
one. Right.
Remember, there's hardly a need for the sun because of Jesus. So this whole hymn, and at the top of this particular page in our hymnal, it's the church triumphant. And this is how we bring comfort to those who've lost loved ones in Christ. So let me read the last stanza. And there's a triangle at the beginning, which means we stand. So we're going to think that there's going to be a Trinitarian note. From earth's wide bounds, from ocean's farthest coast, through gates of pearl streams in the countless host, singing to Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Alleluia, alleluia. You know, another hymnal, that was the second last verse. Then they moved it to the end. And I think it's more appropriate at the end.
Well, sure.
Because it's Trinitarian. Talk
about the Trinitarian.
But from earth's wide bounds, from ocean's farthest coast, the Bible puts it this way, as far as the east is from the west. Exactly. Through gates of pearl streams in the countless host. Gates of pearl.
Yeah, the pearly gates.
That's right.
Well, you've never heard of that before?
Yes. It reminds me of that joke. A man goes to heaven, the angel says, I'll give you anything you want. He said, I like to have lots of gold. He said, what are you going to do with pavement? So you want a bunch of pavement. Okay, that's fine.
The streets are paved with gold, right?
Yeah. Yeah. You see, if you're talking to farmers, even the Bible uses different analogies. That's not the analogy that heaven is. But for a farmer, it's that there's lots of milk and wine. Because that's what a
farmer. Is that right?
Yeah, yeah, in the Old Testament. But if you're talking to somebody in the city, then you talk about the streets paved in gold. Because for them, gold is a most important thing. A lot of farmers, they would eat what they grew. Some they would sell, of course, to those who needed to buy it. But for all the saints who from their labors rest, I'll tell you what's difficult is one of your members phones up and a relative of theirs died who isn't a Christian.
Oh, boy. Yeah. Boy, that is a...
Yeah, what do you say? The only thing I say is, remember, judge not lest you yourselves be judged.
That's right.
You really have no idea where their heart was at the moment of their death.
That's right.
And so we just leave that up to a God who can read hearts. But we also indicate that nothing will take away your bliss.
That's right.
Which is really important. What we're talking about at Emmanuel Lutheran Church at 11 o'clock today, the 10 virgins, and we're going to be looking at Judgment Day because that parable is about the church on earth, but not the regular time, but specifically Judgment Day. So we're going to be taking a look at that. What are you preaching on this Sunday? Have you decided text?
It's going to be All Saints emphasis.
The Beatitudes are Matthew 5.
Yeah, I don't think it'll be that.
The 12,000 from each tribe in Revelation 7. And then 1 John, that we are called children of God. And that's kind of, I like this phrase, why the world does not know us is that it did not know him, this invisible church. All right. Where's your address?
8646 New Sappington Road, just south of the Watson and New Sappington intersection. Crestwood, Missouri, Prince of Peace Lutheran Church.
Till tomorrow, Tom Baker. God bless.
Listen to Law and Gospel each weekday at this time on Worldwide KFUO. For a contribution to the program, make your check payable to Law and Gospel and mail it to Pastor Tom Baker, Post Office Box 28910, St. Louis, Missouri 63132. You can call toll-free at 1-877-267-1962 or email lawandgospel@lawandgospel101.com.